You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
Yo, yo, yo. Are you there?
For the record, I didn't call in sick last week, folks, at last minute. That's all I got to say. Podcast done.
You know what? Why are we bringing up the past? Let's just go forward.
Oh my God. You said Jennifer called it sick in corporate America. She would be on a written warning.
Hey, I put it online too. Someone saying, give her a pip.
Oh my God. That corporate lingo. You know, meanwhile, so the Supreme Court is working hard on figuring out if we should be saving women based on which organs are failing first. I think it was like Moyle versus the United States. I think that's at the Supreme Court, right? Like it. Meanwhile, back home here, I am feeling better. Thank you very much. I had COVID. And
that is awful.
You know what's crazy is that I think people are embarrassed to say whether or not they have COVID.
I think you're right.
I don't understand this sort of, like it's nasty or something. It's literally a virus, just like a cold would be, just like anything else. I mean, so I started last week on Tuesday. So Tuesday night, I get done with work and I go for my walk like I do after work, and I sneezed a couple times. I thought, oh, that's weird. So I don't have allergies. So I get home and, you know, I'm making dinner, and then I'm getting closer to bedtime. I'm like, well, that's weird. I kind of feel a little stuffy, but no big deal. Next morning, I had to be up at 3 a.m. because I was going into the Bay Area, San Francisco, for a work meeting, our quarterly leadership meeting. So I get up at 3 a.m. because I'm taking the train there. And I'm like, oh, this is, I feel like a little run down. So I take three COVID tests, three. Two are negative and one is positive. So I'm like,
my God.
Okay, I got to go to this meeting. It's once a quarter. It's with the heads of each department. I've got to go. I let my boss know. I let the person picking me up from the train station know. They're like, no problem. Just come anyways, blah, blah, blah. So I get on the train, and every train station stop that I'm at, I'm getting worse. Like it progressively, get off in Berkeley. Oh, wow, I'm getting worse. Get off in Richmond. I'm getting worse. So I get there. And of course, I'm wearing my mask the whole time because I'm not sure if I'm, you know, if I'm sick or not at this point because of the COVID test. So I get in my friend's car who picks me up to take me to the meeting. And of course, I'm wearing my mask, the N95, not one of those little like cheapy ones that you get at the gas station. But and as we're driving there from Emeryville, to San Francisco, like we're right on like Battery Street. So I'm getting, I'm literally feeling that I'm getting, someone's invisibly beating me up. Like next to me in the car was pulling me with like a stick and no one else can see it. So get to the meeting. Now the meeting, now mind you, I've been up since 3 a.m. The meeting starts at 7:45. We get there right at 7:45. That meeting went until 5:30.
Jesus.
Now, it would have went longer, but I called for a Lyft because I wanted to take an earlier train home. I'm telling you, first of all, wearing a mask, I forget about that, how much it hurts your ears. But legitimately, I, every hour, just got progressively worse. Like, you could probably see the pain in my eyes. I'm back sweating. I'm trying to be involved in the meeting. I'm trying to be engaging my funny self. And I'm making statements that in my mind think they sound clear, but I don't know if they actually came out that way. And then I have to take the, I have to get to, for those of you not in the Bay Area, I have to literally like take a, what is an 8 mile trip to Emeryville from San Francisco is about a 40 minute drive because of traffic.
Right.
So I'm in this car, 40 minutes, get to the train station just on time at 6:21 p.m. and my train gets in at 8:10 p.m. Like by this time,
Right.
if I can tell you that I literally felt as if I was being pulled by the train. Like that's how progressively working I am. And now, as an adult, I cannot remember. The only time I can remember I was that sick as an adult was when I actually got E. coli poisoning. Like when I was in the Sacramento River and I must have swallowed poop when I wiped out, I got really sick. That was the last time. So when I say that I haven't been sick since I've been about 30 something, I am not lying. So, you get the occasional like sniffles here and there, or
Yeah.
you feel a little congested, but to literally be knocked on your ass and feel like you've been beaten up by the train and or a stick, it was horrible. Then I go to listen to someone's podcast and he has the audacity to say last minute call out. The story, the moral of the story is, bitch.
What? You know what's funny? Like, you have a great, very humane series of events of feeling sick, being sick, confirming it, and trying to get away from the population to be to recover, but also not to infect anybody else. And you were away at a meeting, a corporate meeting, an all-day deal. And then my response was more in line with the corporate, like, she just told me at the last minute she's not showing up.
Oh my God. Oh, first of all, I was laughing. I would expect nothing less. But let me tell you, I was, because I am over 50, not, I'm over 50, I was able to get Paxlovid. So Paxlovid is the antibacterial antibiotic that is for people that are high risk, whether you have respiratory
Right.
issues, morbidly obese, or if you are at a certain age, you get this prescription. And let me tell you, I, first of all, my insurance company, thank you so much. It's covered completely. The woman at the pharmacy said most insurance companies don't cover it anymore because people would abuse it. They wouldn't stay home. They would just be like, oh, I'm on Paxlovid and just go out and about with their days. Now, Paxlovid, it stops the virus from spreading. So usually that virus starts in your like nose and throat area. So Paxlovid stops the virus from spreading. And let me tell you, that shit, this is why I love science. This is why I believe in vaccines. This is why I believe in science, is because the fact of the matter is, this antibiotic, the only side effect that it gave me was a metal taste in my mouth. And
Wow.
I will take that any day. And if anybody comes at me and says, what about long-term effect? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I am telling you to feel how shitty I felt and to have that medication work so quickly was amazing. So thank you to the scientists, whoever invented that. Muchas gracias.
And that stuff worked. Eliane had that last, I think it was last year in New York, and she it was similar to yours where she got sick and she called her doctor, and it was on a, I think it was on a Saturday if I'm not mistaken, and she called her doctor Saturday mid-morning, and her doctor, it took a couple of hours, but her doctor herself called her back, and no, she called the clinic or whatever, they verified her, and then they said they would call the doctor to call her back. The doctor called her back within a couple of hours. And the doctor was at a wedding, now that I think about it, or something weird like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And the doctor called her back, verified her symptoms, put in a prescription, and an hour later they delivered that stuff to her door.
I got it delivered. And let me tell you, they originally wanted me to come in to get checked. And I was like, do you think that I want to drive? First of all, I don't want to even be in a car. But secondly, like be around other people that I could possibly infect. Like, why would I do that? Plus, I don't want to be anywhere around people. I'm so sick that even driving. So then they did a virtual call, and then I was able to get my prescription delivered to my house. So I am thankful for that. I'm on the mends. I tested negative the past couple of days. I've been taking a test just to be sure. They do say that you could have a reoccurrence of it. That's the other side effect of it. But I've been feeling great with the limited ability to taste things, which that's fine too. No big deal. I know what food tastes
Yeah,
like.
it's, one interesting thing you said is that people still get COVID and people still die of COVID,
Yes.
right? And I think as a medical industry, as a corporate led country, and then sort of from COVID fatigue, generally nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit. Like
No.
it's just another issue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not on the news. Like you don't see COVID counts, deaths or anything like that. It's just not there. And maybe it's not at that pandemic level number of deaths when fucking Donald Trump was telling people to drink bleach and just
Oh my
die.
God.
And we went over 1 million deaths, but it's still very prevalent. And people dying from it are still the same demographics, right? So it's seniors, people with different like heavy smokers or low immunity systems and things like that. It still happens. And maybe the numbers have gone down because once again, we vaccinated people, protected everybody.
Exactly. Like the smart people got vaccinated.
Yes, right? Oh my God.
I just, you know, it
So.
comes back to, it just comes back to, you know, you and I, we are definitely going to be talking more political stuff as we come into, you know, the voting season and all that stuff. And we can see things, the recent issues with like Tennessee. I mentioned when we started off this call, we talked about Moyle versus the United States, which is, I think, in Idaho, like how that abortion law conflicts with the, God, it's an acronym. It's like Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. It's like EMTALA. That's how I'm trying to
Okay.
remember it, like
Yeah.
EMTALA. And like legitimately try it, like whether or not you can turn someone away with the thought that they might be pregnant.
That's it's and not only is that sick, I mean that's sick beyond just like I don't know any time in human history where something like that would have been the standard for any society.
The standards are like, so literally I could come into and any woman, and especially women of color, POC, come into a hospital and be like, I have chest pains, I'm bleeding. And the doctor says to me, do you think you're pregnant? Well, I'm not sure. I'm refusing to take care of you. Like, that is where we are at right now.
Yeah, and just for our audience, man, I know one of the reasons some doctors and more than one state, it's not just Idaho, it's a handful so far, more than a handful of Republican-led states, meaning there's a Republican governor and Republican control of state legislature, where they have passed laws that not only restricting or eliminating the right for women or girls to have abortions for any reason, including rape and incest. And including the fetus is non-viable, meaning it's dead, and also if the woman's life is in danger, like no reason, it doesn't matter. And some of those states have passed addendums to those laws that says what you're talking about, any doctor who treats them can be charged. It's different in different states, but generally it's a from they're all felonies all the way up to murder.
Oh my God. Like this is where we're at. This is where we're at. And this is where Harvey Weinstein gets let out of prison.
It just is sick. You know what? Look, even like that is just, the judge said, I don't know this shit happens. The judge was like, well, his trial, they shouldn't have allowed other women who he abused to testify. But I'm like, that's the whole purpose.
That to think. This is why women don't come forward if they're assaulted.
Yes, that
This
is a reason. Yeah, and you know what? Going back to that pregnancy thing, just to tag onto that in America, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but I imagine it's similar. But in America, the most dangerous time to be a woman is when you're pregnant,
Wow.
right? And so all this right to life and all this kind of crap, that's that's just sticker, bumper sticker crap. That's not meaning, none of that stuff means anything. Because in fact, the most dangerous time for a woman in America, or a girl, is when she's pregnant. And by danger, I mean, she's very, that's the time she's most likely to be assaulted and killed because she's pregnant.
That's insane. That,
yeah. Yeah. So we got to talk about laws that restrict that. And also punish doctors. And Texas just passed a law that says if you leave the state to get an abortion, they can charge you with a felony. And that law, like I tell my daughter, and I bring it up on this podcast so many times, that law is based on the fugitive slave laws, meaning if you escaped as an enslaved person, it didn't matter if you went to a so-called free state. The state you escaped from, if they had legalized slavery, and they did, they could still go get you.
Wow.
Yeah, if they could catch you, they could still go get you. And that's where our police department comes from. Anyway, that's a whole nother deal. But
oh my God. Have you seen the question asked to women? It is, would you rather be in the woods with a bear or a man? And every woman is picking a bear.
You know what? I've been seeing that dialogue. And you know what? You know who's mad about all those women saying they pick a bear? Men.
Men.
Right? Men. And I'm like, you know what? You have to recognize that I think it's 96-98% of women killed in America are killed by men. Sir. They're not killed by bears.
And if they are, one woman said, you would believe me if I was attacked by a bear.
Ooh, Lord.
Oh, talk about goosebumps when I saw that. Like, at least people will believe me if I was attacked by a bear.
Sir, we know in this country we have hundreds of thousands of untested rape kits in our judicial system because police departments choose not to investigate. And the excuse many, if not most, would say is we don't have the funds, which we know it's a lie because they do, because they have funds to buy excess military equipment. They have funds to buy very nice cars and SUVs. They got updated computers, cameras, the best guns and assault and the best, you know, tactical gear for their SWAT teams, helicopters all over the place. They got all that stuff. They got money to test a rape kit. They choose not to. So, yeah. I mean, so you start thinking about, you know, whether it's religious people or, you know, conservative people, or if they're the same, talking about the value of life and all stuff like that, they don't really mean it. They just mean that as men, they want to stay in control. And yeah, those women talking about being with a bear or in the forest. You know what? I totally get it. I totally get it. Like that lady said, you'll believe me. But at the same time, it is highly dangerous to be in the forest with a man. Are you kidding me?
Highly. And a woman asked her husband, would you trust your daughter in the woods with a bear or a man? And the guy could not answer that question. And she said, okay, would you trust your daughter in the woods with a woman or a bear? And the guy's like, a woman. Like, like to even think for a second as a father, you had to choose whether it would be safer for your daughter to be in the woods with a man or a bear. Like that in itself should send a raging message. Anybody that, I mean, listen, you have a daughter that's young. We have mutual friends that have daughters that are young. That is, I don't know how you cannot navigate through life without a level of fear.
Right?
Like, I don't know how you do it.
And you know, I saw this lady online. I can't think of her name, but I think her name is Shannon something. But she leads that organization, Moms Against Guns or Gun Violence or something like that. And you know, she puts out a lot of information. But occasionally, she will, if it's on Twitter anyway, she'll retweet a story about violence, and it'll be a headline, right? And she'll always tag on it because the headline will say something like, "Family family annihilated, or, you know, woman killed by her partner, or it can even be something like a new security camera to keep you safe. And she'll always add on. So say it's that, a new type of home security camera that'll keep you safe. And she'll always add on this, the rest of the sentence. Keep you safe from what? From who? From what man? Like, it's that, like, we always leave that off. If you talk about women being safe out walking, safe from who? Right? Wow. Like, that part's never there. So the bear thing really makes that plain and simple, right? Because it says a bear or man. And so when you think about women's safety, women's self-defense classes, defense from who?
Damn.
Right? Or take back the night things these little communities do. Take back the night from who?
Ooh.
Right? It's all, and we leave that out. And look, I am of the male species. Like, I get it. Like, men are motherfucking violent. And yeah. So you think we got, you know, 1.6 million people in jails in prison in the United States at any one time. And I mean, there are women in prison, you know, but the vast majority, you know, 80-90% are men and young men. And then if you think of all the crimes, murders, assaults, rapes, property crimes, even all the way into corporate boardrooms of white collar crimes and financial crimes and fraud and all that, it's men.
Men. No. So, like, it should be a no-brainer. Like, men should get pissed that I'd rather be in the woods with a bear. At least. And then I saw this bear, this guy yelling at a bear, and he said, "Far enough, bear," and the bear turned around. And then it went to a woman walking down the street with a man following her. And she's like, "Stop following me. Stop following me." And he's like, "I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you." Like, even the bear in the situation that a man said, "Hey, stop right there, buddy," you know, and the bear turns around, like, legitimately. And then right to a female walking with a man saying, "I just want to talk to you." She's like, "Please leave me alone." And he still follows her. Like, that, if that is not a wake up call for men to realize the amount of pressure a woman is under to do things alone, why are you here?
Right. That's a great point. And look, you know what? We can go all the way up to the former president, who was a man, with Donald Trump. So the Supreme Court, which is mostly men, I think there's three women on the Supreme Court, four women, I take that back. Justice Kagan, Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kanji Brown Jackson, and I can't think of that little Catholic lady name.
Yeah, what is her name?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes.
Right. So the rest are men, but they were hearing arguments today from Donald Trump's lawyers that he has presidential immunity for any crime committed while in office and out of office as a former president. Now I've been reading from different legal people, legal people, lawyers and constitutional scholars, who are all saying this question should never have made it to the Supreme Court because it's absurd on its face, meaning we don't have a king and we don't have, you know, complete 100% immunity for presidents, for anybody, right? For anybody ever. Now they can pardon, governors and presidents can pardon people for crimes, and that power is a holdover from the English monarchy. That's where that comes from. Like, wow. At any time, the English monarchy, the king or queen could pardon somebody. It was like an act of benevolence to the people. And so our presidents and our governors have that power. Like, a lot of people don't know that that's a monarch thing, but we kept that. But presidents don't have immunity. And so that has made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And at one point, Justice Kanji Brown asked, "So are you saying that," to ask Donald Trump's lawyer, "you're saying that he could order the military to assassinate his opponent and he would be immune from prosecution?" And his lawyer said, "Yeah, he could." Now think of the implications of that. Like, only dictators can do that.
Wow.
Right. And so you have trained lawyers arguing in front of the Supreme Court that that's okay. That's where he could do that. And so, I mean, you take that out to his logical conclusion. He could have just had, well, they tried to kill Mike Pence, but he could have had his political opponent killed, right? Which was Biden. He could
No
have,
repercussions.
yeah, he could have anybody killed. And they're saying that it's okay. They could do that. And the other justices on the Supreme Court were saying, the five conservative justices, and mostly there's six, it's really not five, there's six, based on their line of questioning, were sort of saying that that's okay. And that's pretty scary.
That's
And
really scary.
it's
So
scary.
could then Biden turn around and then have Trump assassinated without any repercussions?
So that's what the lawyers were saying, who were analyzing what was happening. They were saying, look, so what you're saying is what the government lawyers should have come back and said was, so President Biden can have all of you assassinated right now,
Yeah.
right? And he could have Donald Trump assassinated and other, leading Republicans, and it's okay. He's above the law. He could just pardon himself, and he has full presidential immunity. That's okay. I mean, that's a logical. And you know what? And I hate to do this, but you can always see how crazy this stuff is. Like that's a great scenario you just brought up. Can Biden do it right now? But you know how you could really make it plain for most Americans? You could just say, so you're saying President Obama could do that? Because that, look, anytime you put a black man in that position, say, so he could just murder people and he's
Yeah.
okay. And what you're saying is, Supreme Court, everybody should be okay with that. Because that wouldn't be the case.
At all. Like that would not even be on the table.
Right? It's insane. And so the scholars, the lawyers, the constitutional people are saying this never should have made it this far to the Supreme Court. It never should have made it, like in any shape or fashion, because it completely strips the Constitution so that it really is like it doesn't even matter. So, and again, this is a man. Now, if there was a woman president, you think they'd be sitting here thinking, well, she has absolute power, she can have people killed. They would never allow that.
That would never come out, although that would be a great power, superpower to have.
Right?
I'd just
Right?
be making every Sunday, you know how women used to clip coupons? I would be just putting my hit list together.
It's so funny because I said that today. Let me get a list together from that I can submit to President Biden.
And you know what would be really great is that if he selected one person's wish list a year.
Right?
Like, like in bingo where they throw all those numbers in a big revolve or all raffle tickets in that wheel that spins. Like everybody that has a hit list, just send it to me and then I'll pick one and those will be the people that I take up. Like that would be the ultimate. I mean, I mean, listen, we're here right now. We're here with what's happening in the Supreme Court with what we just talked about, Boyle? We're here with Tennessee, who just said we are arming our teachers with guns. I mean, instead of putting money and thought in how to make it harder to get guns, we're going to arm more people with guns and put students at risk with guns and all of that jazz. So I can't say to you that you can't say it's okay for this guy to get immunity, but nobody else can get it. But you know
Right.
what? They could do that. Like they could absolutely take that away after he gets immunity and say, okay, well, no one else gets it.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. And you know what? So, just for our audience, what Jennifer's talking about for Tennessee just voted that teachers can be armed. That not that they, not only that they can be armed, they can have concealed weapons, and they only need 40 hours of training. And having worked in call centers, you get more training in call centers, how to handle a call.
Sir, you're gonna spend money teaching someone how to use a gun. You're gonna buy the gun, I'm assuming. You're gonna have to get insurance for that gun because there's gonna be some sort of accidental shooting and the parent is gonna end up suing the school system. So you
Right.
like all of these layers that come with having that instead of saying, you motherfuckers can't get a gun this easy.
Right. Right, just like that. And then, and you know what? So if I'm a teacher in Tennessee,
I'm gone.
Because you brought up, you are a ten, yeah, you brought up a good point. So now I draw my weapon and shoot someone, right? And a kid or a fellow teacher, right? I have to go to the district before that happens and say, look, are you going to indemnify me against lawsuits? Or am I left out there to dry? Because like when cops kill someone, the city, the county, the state has to pay. The cop doesn't pay themselves and the union doesn't pay, which is a conversation for a whole nother day. However, with that teacher, who is that family going to sue? Because they're going to sue.
They're gonna. So it's like it is. It's like malpractice that doctors have to have, right? So, to think it's what we said a couple of times throughout our 102 pot. This is our 102nd one, where we say that if you could put this much effort into being a criminal, like the thought process to be a criminal and to have to go through everything that we're going through, all these efforts that are going to have to be implemented for people to have the right to bear arms and not have regulations around it is going to be so much harder. If you would put that effort into making things better, so it's not so easy to get a gun, you'd be better off. Why are you putting so much effort into make it worse? It's like stealing. It's those scammers that call you and old people trying to take their money, right? If you put all that effort into making up on cold calls to legitimate companies, you probably have a pretty good life. Like,
exactly.
Why are you doing it this way? So I get so
working so hard. Yeah, working hard to just do dumb stuff.
To do dumb stuff.
It's crazy. And then look, I have to bring this up because I have listeners that come to me to bring this up, that in American public schools, the most disciplined kids are black boys and black girls. The most predominant teacher is a white teacher.
Wow.
And if you look at statistics in America, that white people generally think black kids are older than what they are more aggressive than what they are, and are more violent than what they are. And so you combine those things with now a teacher in a classroom is armed, and a child, because they are children, no matter what you want to say that they're adults or whatever, and a child acts up, and that teacher is a dateline teacher. They're going through divorce, their husband and wife cheating on them, they're gambling too much, they're drinking too, you know, all those things.
Mm.
And now they're in the pressure.
You said dateline teacher. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, you're telling me, but I just want to call attention to the fact that dateline teacher, like that all the signs were there. And we
just make it play for the audience. And that teacher, you know, shoots that student. Or you know what? Or it's the other end. That student, and we know this happens. That student is from a home where they're being abused. Oof. Right? They're from a home where, you know, one parent, two parent, or grandparent, or whatever. Or like, my wife is a teacher, and she talk about you have a good student, but they have a really awful family life, or their older sibling, you know, is, you know, a criminal, you know, or, you know, they're just exposed so much when they come to school, you know, they're grumpy, they're cranky, they act out, and you start thinking, you know, we're kids, you know, look, I was that kid. You throw a book, you push a desk, you slam a door, you know, and then you combine that kid on the right day and the right, it's like the eclipse, all the things line up. That teacher is having a bad day in the life, that kid having a bad day in the life, and now they're in a classroom, and there's an armed weapon in that classroom. That is the prescription for just a disaster.
A disaster. And we know, based on our history here, that we are going to see some disaster.
We're
going to
see that, because we even with just family handguns, illegal, like legal in states where you register, some states you don't have to register. The most likely person to be injured by someone owning a gun is a family member. It's not some random criminal breaking into the house. It's a family member.
That that everybody likes to use as an example. I just want to be prepared when somebody comes into my house. Okay, well, and just when has that happened? Well, it hasn't. Has anybody ever attempted? No. I just want to be safe, which I don't get me wrong. If you want to have a gun in your house because it makes you feel a little safer and it's locked up and you're doing everything right, you got it with your background check and like you take good care of it, you respect it. You respect the gun. I'm all for that. It might not be my choice to have one or
Yeah, I'm the same.
I get that. Like I
Yeah.
the but the response always is, why do you need to have five or six of them? Like I don't understand. It's my right to have them. I like to have guns. Okay, I understand people that shoot and look at guns as sort of a
Yeah.
art. So I get all that too. But I can't understand why most people that have guns think that everybody should have a right to it. And even I don't know enough about the background check and what states have and what states don't have them,
Yeah.
but you do get to like go to another state and purchase a gun if they don't have background checks. Like
Right.
it's not like Texas driving somewhere else and getting an abortion and have to get, thrown in jail. Like if I go, if there's a background check that I don't do and I go to Nevada and they don't have one, well, shouldn't I be arrested because I went out of state to get a gun?
Right. I mean, you can make that, you could totally make that case. Sir, how about this pending possible TikTok ban?
Sir, September.
So for audience who may not know, a bipartisan, meaning Republicans and Democrats, got together and passed a bill, and sent it to the president, who signed it, that says TikTok has to sell its American operations to an American citizen or company, or cease doing business in America. And they're already banned from government devices and things. And some people are upset about that. So I did a little research on it. Yeah, because I want to make sure our fans get, some good information. So on why did they pass this? Because because people like TikTok, right? It has great algorithms and stuff. Now, granted, TikTok has some issues. TikTok, like, you would be banned if you used the phrase Black Lives Matter too much, right?
Wow, I
Like,
didn't know that.
they were banned. You could always just know if something related to Black people, there's always going to be issues with it.
Oh my
This
God.
is the way you go. But TikTok is already banned in about 20 countries. TikTok is banned in China.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, TikTok is banned in China, as are other American-based social media apps. China creates their own, and they don't want these apps there. So they and it, even TikTok. And the reason the U.S. government is, and these other governments have banned TikTok, is because of most believe that the algorithms are designed to cause social unrest, and they farm personal information and data from American citizens. And so the countries who have discovered it have banned it. So China banned TikTok. India, the largest democracy in the world, they banned TikTok. 12 different European countries, including England, Russia, Norway, Ireland, France, Denmark, Belgium, and Austria, and some more countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all banned TikTok or banned it from government access, and are still headed towards banning it. Like they've said, we're going to ban it. We just got to go through our process. And plus, I think four or five African nations I've also banned it outright, because it data farms on citizens, and that information is funneled back to China.
For what though? Like, what's the point? So, like, what do they do with that?
So it is, if you think of it in terms of the Cold War back in the 40s through the 80s, it, the idea is that you push anti-government messages on the population so that the population doesn't like its government, and you can cause social unrest. So it's similar to what we're seeing with these protests on these college campuses. Like, you push social unrest, but you also push disinformation. Like we saw with the 2016 election in 2020, you push bad information. You push Obama's not an American citizen. You push Hillary has emails where she's killing people. You know, you push all this literally fake news on the population, and you make people in America, you want people not to vote, and you want people to not vote for any government leader that's going to be against whatever nation is pushing their disinformation. And in China's case, they just don't want anyone who's going to be hard on China for tariffs, for our support of Taiwan, and so forth. And so all these other nations have already been, like, we're not the first, we're way down the line. And so, and even with that, the U.S. has taken a cautious approach saying, look, we'll give you time, just sell it to an American, sell the U.S. operation, not the whole company, just the U.S. operations, because then they would be beholden to the same laws that the other apps are, that you can't sell everybody's data, you can't spy on them on their computers. Right. You can't steal their information and sell it to foreign entities and stuff like that. And even though you have First Amendment rights, you still are beholden to our laws around privacy and all this kind of stuff. And where they've said they won't do it, particularly in those European nations whose laws are most similar to ours, they've just been banned already.
Wow. So we could. Do we think any Americans going to come up and buy it?
I think so, because there's a lot of money to be made on TikTok, right? And I think if that happens, that money those creators are making is going to plummet. Because one thing we know about American billionaires, they make money, you don't.
I mean, there's a livelihood. Like, I see some people on TikTok that have made, that changed their life being influencers on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people have had significant life changes and stuff. And there are creators who do really well. And you know what? It just, I think they should sell their operation, because they have a really great algorithm that the other apps can't, haven't been able to figure out. They can't do it the same way. But you know, there was a day, you know, 5 years ago, there was no TikTok. It's not like the world would end. It's a really functional app. And even, look, I go on there and find funny videos. It's like any other app. You can find good stuff, right? Funny videos, humorous. I follow a bunch of scientists, you know, astrophysicists and stuff. You find some really cool stuff in there. But I have noticed that if you look at, you know, Black creators in particular, they don't get their stuff doesn't get spread as widely as non-Black contributors. And if you go into it and hear them, they talk about how their stuff is just suppressed. And I know, like, I have tried to, you can hit a little button there and it says, I'm not interested in this topic. And you know, it doesn't matter. They'll still send that stuff to you.
Where it's like, did this entertain you or not? Or does this?
And if you talk about, you know, certain politicians in a negative way, that you'll get warnings. And trust me, if you do that Black Lives Matter thing too much, they will suspend you.
Dang, and I never knew that.
Yeah, and it's because I don't know. So people are mad about that, but it's another one of those things that go, well, the U.S. government will protect its secrets. And if there's a foreign company doing business that's a little bit shady, they're gonna hold them accountable. They are. And we don't always get that information. I get a great example. So Congress just passed this giant funding bill for Ukraine, money for Israel, money for Palestine, and money for Taiwan. And people are like, well, what just happened? Well, that Taiwan money is because of China. So we prop up the Taiwanese military and their defense, because they're right there next to China. You keep like a foot over there to make sure, right? And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is like a really dumb little man, and he kept saying, we're not going to do this because Republicans didn't like it. And you know what the president did? He called that little guy to his office, and he sat him down with national security people, and they told him, they showed him, this is what Russia is doing, and this is what they're going to do next. Here's our intelligence on this. And if we don't fund the Ukraine right now, they are the wall against Russia going further into Western Europe. And you're talking, you know, Germany, France, you're talking Belgium, the Netherlands, you're talking all these countries, right? All these countries that are part of NATO that have a vested interest in keeping Russia on that side. And they showed him the intelligence that said, if we don't fund this and stop this here, you're looking at them spreading, and you're talking about a big old war again in not only in Europe, but it's going to spread. And so Mike Johnson, who hates Democrats, who was specifically put in that job because Kevin McCarthy got that same briefing and had to agree with the president with the last funding bill. And Mike Johnson came back and said, okay, yeah, we got to pass this. And they said, well, what happened? He said, well, you know, I met with the intelligence group and yeah, we got to pass this. Whatever they showed him was so incredible, right? It was so incredible, and I might not be the right word, but maybe so threatening that he went from saying, we are not going to do this. We got, you know, all the votes against is not going to happen to him, coming out the next day saying, we have to pass this. Wow. That's a big deal. And it got passed and the president signed it. It's a big deal. And I think, Jen, it's one of those things where, you know, we're going around, you know, watching sports, you know, going to our meetings and going to work and all this kind of stuff. But there's always that undercurrent of these little wars happening that we just don't get. But every now and then little things bubble up. So I think the TikTok ban is part of that. And then that big old funding thing is part of that. I think those are all part of the same, what they call geopolitical things going on right now.
Great. I mean, it's just never ending. It's exhausting.
It is. And you know what? It's funny you said, because some people can just say, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to live my life, not worried about it. It's just going to, you know, just be happy and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? I completely get that. I completely, because you can't just stop living. But at the same time, it's like, man, I get fascinated that this stuff is going on, because you never know that stuff's going to blow up. Like, you just never know. And blow up might not be the right term, but just like just go off.
God damn, it's exhausting. And you it's definitely, exhausting. And as a writer, I'm assuming, especially as, you know, you put your magazines together, you get authors, writers to give articles under the political umbrella. Like, you just have, you're in the thick of it. So you probably see way more than just the surface stuff that, you know, you always teach me something. I try to keep abreast about with things, but because of what you do, that takes you on a journey that takes you way deeper into some of this stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff be happening. And so you're funny you mentioned my magazine, because I have, over the past month, I've been reaching out to writers around the country to, because I have this monthly digital magazine. It's called Dear D Magazine. And I put it together and I get these writers. Some are experienced journalists and some are just regular people who just want to, you know, write a little something. You've written for the magazine before. Yeah. And I've reached out to these writers and I've said, look, between May and October, you know, those are the months of the campaign before the November election. And I just started listening to people to write or submit articles to me about the election. It could be about Biden Harris, it could be about voting in a particular state, you know, some person running for some office. It could be about just voting in general, or I don't know, you know, some big events happening in the country that's related to voting. It all leads to voting. Like, it's all leading to that. And I've asked them to just submit me some stuff, you know, abortion, gun rights, Supreme Court, all the big stuff that have come up. And I have, I think, maybe 10 people lined up that's going to be giving me data, giving me content, for the magazine. Yeah, I'm still trying to get some more. And because, you know what, because like you said, like, I'm not going to do, there are people who volunteer and do like they send postcards, they send texts, they do phone calls, and then their wealthy people do money. And I'm not doing any of those things, none. But what I like to do, because I have a magazine, I have an outlet for people to put information in, and it's free, and I can distribute it. And you can, and you know what? Some people read, some people watch YouTube videos, some people watch TikTok, some people watch the nightly news, but some people read digital stuff. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to push out content over the next 5 months that's political, not just content, but political. So I'm pretty happy to be doing that too.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I think I probably speak for anybody that listens to this. Like, it is what you are just it is what you are immaculate at. Like your insights, how you break it down, how you keep it simple for the common folk that don't spend a lot of time in it because there's so much information and you don't realize the misinformation. And so to have somebody that says, "Listen, I've taken this part, this part, this part, this part, this part. Here's what the story actually tells." Like that takes somebody that's dedicated, intelligent, and has the patience to put it together. Very similar to what you and I talk about on that on Instagram. Not Instagram, she probably is on Instagram, but on TikTok, the political girl, the political woman, the blonde that, takes a lot of feedback and actually has applied it. She's very good and articulate in providing a situation, the urgency around it, to make it seem like engaging and wanting me to learn because she keeps it very simple. And maybe it's just my simple mind. Yeah, I love that. I'm excited to read all that because I always learn something.
Cool. So what are you watching these days? And you should have watched a lot since you were home with the mange.
Oh my God, let me tell you. Oh, the main. Okay, so I watched Baby Reindeer.
That was bonkers.
Bonkers. So you watched it. Okay, bonkers.
Yes.
Interesting that the guy, the real life guy that was stalked, also played himself. So that was pretty interesting. Baby Reindeer, very bonkers. It took you on a wild ride. It takes you in the, you know what I thought about that movie or that show? It's a limited series. I think it's 8 episodes, is and they're like 30 minutes each. What to take you in the life of somebody that loneliness and when you see somebody else that's lonely. Like it just interesting. I'm on the fence about recommending
Yes.
it because it's pretty there are some really hard moments to watch in it, but I enjoyed it. Like I was engaged and I wanted to watch it. So
That's a good,
I'm
I think that's a good review of that. Because I watched it and I'm like you, like some of it's hard to watch.
hard to watch. Yeah. Really challenging. Because it's real life. So then when you watch some of these shows and then you associate real life, like when you watch movies, you're like, I know this happens, but this isn't really happening, per se, but it might have. But it was really it took me on a journey very similar to the journey I took with Ripley. So Ripley is a new show on Netflix. If
Yes.
they do it in black and white, which it was based in Italy, so I really wish they wouldn't have, but it was done in the 1960s. And it was the best phrase that I could use for this. It was very slow but strategic. So
Yes. So I'm not done with it, but yeah, that's another great review. Slow but strategic. You got to sit with
yes.
it, and it's black and white, sort of stylish, but yeah, it's well made.
Well made, creepy, and once you finish it, I want to talk to you. We'll do a spoiler alert for anybody that, we'll tell you to turn off the podcast at this point because we're going to talk about it. But I want you to watch it fully, and then I want to discuss the ending with you when you finish with it. So I enjoyed it. Definitely, you have to have patience with it because it starts off really slow, but everything is so methodical within the storytelling. So enjoy that. I am loving Loot. So Loot is hysterical. It's great storyline. It's a feel good show. I'm obsessed with Loot. Palm Royale, I am all caught up on Palm Royale. Actually, I don't think I watched this week's episode yet, but Palm Royale.
Is Palm Royale a comedy?
It's kind of dark humor, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig, who is actually, I hate when people say actually something, but she's a really good actress. I mean, this
I
is a
agree with that.
role in which she is deceitful in a way and also oblivious and only has one focus in mind, and that is to be part of the elite community. So there's that. Shogun, I know you're going to say you're welcome. You're welcome. Like, it is so good. I am disappointed that next week is the final episode. That is magnificently filmed. The details from the costumes to hand gestures to just, I guess, traditions that are stemmed. Like, I don't know anything about the 1600s
Right.
or what happened in Japan, but I makes me intrigued, and I am enjoying watching it with just subtitles for American subtitles. I'm enjoying listening to the Japanese discussion. It just gives it more, like, I don't know, it's more meaty. It's more like,
Now wait a minute, sir. I watched the series finale or the season finale.
No, I think you have watched episode 9.
Yes, and I think I watched episode 10 after that.
Oh, there was another 10? Okay, I maybe I'm behind.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm pretty certain it is outdone.
Oh my God. Okay, so I have to watch that. I think I've talked about this before, but I'm going to give it another shout out. Was Somebody Somewhere? That's on HBO Max. It is, it's a feel good, like, funny friendship journey of two people that just have a lot going on in their life and try to, like, navigate the best that they can and how they can show up. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't wait for season 3.
Is that thumbnail that it has a really pretty lady on it?
No, well, I think every woman's beautiful.
Yeah,
but,
that's true. That's true. Yeah,
but,
that didn't help.
Yeah, that didn't help. But she is a burlesque, not a burlesque, but she does, like, singing and comedy shows, one woman shows. I've never seen her. I have never seen anybody that's in that show. I might have seen one or two actresses or actors in, like, other shows, but nobody that's that I've ever seen. So really, really enjoy it. Of course, I'm watching, you know, Don't Come At Me, my Grey's Anatomy, my Station 19, The Good Doctor. And let me tell you, the worst television show with the worst acting is 911. So that's with Angela Bassett. I mean, I'm sorry, Angela, if you listen to this, but her acting in that is, it is no Stella Gutter Brubeck. So
well, it's just called 911.
Yes, it is. It she's plays a police officer, her husband's a firefighter. The acting, the, like, just recently she was on a big cruise ship that flipped upside down, and she, you know, like,
oh, I see a commercial.
Just, it is the worst, but I'm not gonna stop watching it because my brother and I will watch it and then laugh about how just insanely, like, unrealistic it is. So that's a little
I've only seen here. I've only seen that commercial with that ship laying on its side in the water, and I think that looks like an AI cartoon. Like,
they so had a bad tsunami once on one of their episodes. They had a tsunami and all the animals from the zoo were out, so, like, the giraffes, the rhinos.
Oh my God.
I can't make this shit up. So
what network is that one on?
That is Fox. That's Fox. And of course, Vanderpump Rules. And then I'm also watching The Bally with Jax Taylor and his wife, Brittany, and Vanderpump Rules. So I had a lot. I finished a lot being sick. And I am really excited. If you say Shogun already at episode 10, I'm definitely going to watch that tonight.
Yeah, it's and I saw 9, like you were saying. 9 is just
bonkers.
Is incredible. Yeah, it's that's some of the best TV out there. Like, that 9. A matter of fact, it was so good. And then because I was watching it on Disney, I think, because Disney and Hulu has the same now. And then it was like, it just started going to episode 10. I thought, oh, here we go. So, yeah.
Buckle up. Okay. I'll watch that tonight. What are you watching?
So, those you're watching, I would add, you know, I got this trial for Shudder, the horror channel. and I'm keeping it because they have some great horror movies on there. So just a couple. I don't even know. Like, I've watched so many because I've been sitting here right. I have it on the background. But Shudder is worth the $6 subscription. But I'm trying. I watched this new sci-fi show called Beacon 23. Okay. And the main lady is the sister from Game of Thrones, the real evil lady. Everybody hate it. The Cersei? Queen.
Cersei?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Lena Headey. That's her name. Yeah. So it's set out in space somewhere. So it's pretty good. But it's pure sci-fi kind of stuff. There's a horror movie on Peacock called Talk to Me.
Okay.
It's very good. And let me tell you something. If you ever come across a horror movie that's made in Australia or New Zealand, watch it. Because those people are insane. Like, they're insane. This stuff is so good. So anyway, Talk to Me. And basically it's about teenagers who have this hand that's like, it's just a dead hand, someone's hand. And it's like a sculpture kind of hand. But, if you know, you say certain incantations to it, and then, you know, ghostly things happen. And it's like, it's a horror, but it's really good. I'm not done with Ripley. I'm going to try to finish it in the next day or so. And then, what else? Oh, I know. On Prime, there's this is sci-fi as well. It's called Fallout. It's based on this video game. And it's a video game was like a multiplayer type of game. And there's all these different kind of characters in this world that's like a post-apocalyptic. And you have all these different types of players. You could be like this, like a robot guy, some zombies. Just like you were thinking a video game, you're just shooting up all this kind of stuff. But they made it into a live action deal. And it's actually pretty good. Like, it's a pretty good kind of deal, yeah. So, and I am rewatching Three Body Problem on Netflix. It's so good. It's hard to explain what it is. And by three body, it doesn't mean bodies like people, humans, or aliens. It means something else. But it's a series. It's very good. And then I think the only other thing I've been able to watch besides Shogun, that's probably it. Because I'm writing this novel. I am 52,000 words into this novel. I am also working on another book where I've just been going back and forth to my editor, who already has that book done. Actually, she's working on two other books that I've submitted to her. And then, you know, I got my magazine. You know, I think my April magazine, I wrote four articles for that. And then I'm going to do another story collection, like four long-form stories. Meaning they're not short, but they're not novel, but they're just somewhere in the middle. And I have those four stories started. So I've been doing so much writing. I haven't watched a lot of TV, but I still watch these. I was able to watch these things right here. So there you go.
You know, I forgot when you were talking, I watched Mary and George. So it's set in the 1600s. A mother sends her son off to sort of seduce the king because he can give them money. And that's Julianne Moore. That was only 7 episodes. It was so good. It was really good.
So she sent her son to seduce the king because the king was like boys. Is that
yes,
men?
That's correct. Yes.
Oh, that's saucy.
Yeah, saucy. Very spicy. Very, very good. Well acted. I am a period piece person. I like stuff. I like those like Bridgerton, Game of Thrones, House of Dragons. I like those period shows. You know, a lot of the times, most of the times I have not gotten into The Crown. So I tried it. I gave it like 3 or 4 episodes. I was like, I can't watch this. So, but yeah, Mary and George, 7 episodes. It's on Stars.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good. So I wanted to remember to give you that.
Okay. Where is, it was something you said. I don't know where it's playing though. Or The Valley. Where do you watch The Valley?
Oh, The Valley's on Peacock. It comes on right after Vanderpump Rules. Another juicy reality show.
I've been meaning to watch that too.
Yeah, it's a train wreck, but I've been enjoying it.
So we're over our limit, and we're on our way to 200 episodes. Please download us. And the important thing is put us on auto download. We need those downloads, and then share our show. You know, we got good good listeners, loyal listeners, and we're growing steadily, but I want to grow faster. So we need our audience to help share our show, put us on auto download, and leave us reviews on, particularly on Apple, because Apple will promote your shit if you give them, if you put reviews on stuff.
I love that. Yeah. And, you know, as always, there's, you can find where you can locate us, where our social media handles are. Reach out if there's something you want us to talk about, or if you want to correct us in something that we said, like engaging yes. conversation, because we welcome it. We love it. Good, positive vibes our way. Again, we try to stay as shallow as possible, but sometimes we go a little deeper because we know it's necessary when we're trying to tell a full story.
Yes. Have a great week. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Ciao.
Love this podcast? Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.